Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for this 22nd Sunday after Trinity, found in Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." This is God's word. A few moments ago in our gradual, the responsive psalm verses that we read in the middle of our readings, the psalmist said, and we said with him, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Indeed, to be in unity, brothers dwelling in unity. The word brothers there is just, it's how Hebrew says all of God's people, men and women alike. How good it is when God's children dwell in unity as one together. I think that's something many of us desire, that we do indeed have unity with one another. We lament that we seem so far from it. Jesus would have you know that unity comes when God forgives sins and Christians in turn forgive one another. We would be fools to think that unity can be possible apart from anything but God giving mercy to us and we in turn being merciful to one another. And if you want some marching orders, some words for how you as Christians ought to be living in this present day, it is as those receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" said St. Peter. "As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." That's how often you should forgive the one who sins against you. And Jesus is not saying that forgiveness stops after the 490th time you forgive the one who sins against you. Forgiveness is multiplied upon itself over and over, because forgiveness never ends. And that's where unity is found, and unity grows when God forgives sinners and forgiven sins in turn forgive one another. We say together in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We should not in any way try to put one forgiveness above the other, God's forgiveness and ours, as though somehow I wait until God forgives me before I show forgiveness to another person, or that somehow I can't get forgiveness from God unless I first show forgiveness to others. It's an interchange of back and forth, a cycle repeating itself over and over. God's forgiving us, and we're in turn forgiving others. And then God keeps forgiving us so that we also keep forgiving one another. And then God keeps forgiving us so that we forgive one another, and over it goes. We're mistaken in this world if we think that somehow, and a lot of American Christianity has kind of sold this to us, that we're sort of people starting at the bottom of a hill, trying to go up and get better as we go along. As though somehow we start off by God forgiving us and receiving God's grace in Jesus Christ. And now I could go on doing all the good things. When you live that way, you're going to find out you fall down that hill quite a bit. Blessed Dr. Martin Luther talked about the Christian life instead of being more like a cycle that repeats itself over and over and over. God forgives you, which leads to you forgiving others, which leads to you being forgiven by God, and you forgiving others, and it gloriously repeats itself over and over and over. And lest that sound boring, lest that sound like an unimaginative way to live, realize that it is in being forgiven by God and shown mercy by God and receiving love from God that you learn how to see others with forgiveness and mercy and love. We are tempted in every point in history to think that somehow the church is more relevant now than it ever has been in the past, as though somehow the word we have as the church is more important now than it was in the past. Well, that would be a false way to look at things, because it would imply that the church hasn't always had the message that the church needs at that point in time. But I will suggest that perhaps now we, sinful human beings, need to realize just how we as the church do have what the world needs. That we have always had it. That we as the church are going to be that in this present age, the thing that brings about unity. Because the forgiveness of Christians is the life of the church, and that's what we have. It's why we're here. It's why we come, and maybe you've forgotten that's why you come, but it is why you've come to this place. To be forgiven. To be covered in the holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ, shed for you on the cross, that has washed away all of your sin, that you might have unity with God, and now forgive the one who sinned against you, that you might have unity with your brother or sister in Christ. The only way we can have unity in this world is if we learn to see one another as God sees us. Sinners worthy of being washed in the blood of His Son. And God grant that we would never break that beautiful, precious cycle of being forgiven and forgiving one another. That's what happened in the parable that Jesus told. A king forgave his servant, but the servant would not in turn forgive his brother. And where that cycle breaks, mercy's no longer found. But you can rest assured, dear friends in Jesus Christ, that as long as you know that you have a God who forgives you, who has washed away the debt of your sin, who has made you his holy, precious, chosen people, as long as you have that, you will know how to return forgiveness to those around you. It is important that we as the church realize that now we need to be able to speak clearly about forgiveness. And if we're to speak about forgiveness, we have to be able to speak about sin, to confront sin. And that can be uncomfortable. We don't like talking about sin. We don't like talking about sexual sin. We don't like talking about the pride or self-righteousness that might live in our own hearts. We don't like talking about the fact that not every single thing I'm inclined to do is automatically God-pleasing just because I want it. If we're to be the church speaking about forgiveness in our present age, we must speak about sin. But the glorious reality is, it is precisely the sinners for whom Jesus has come. He says in Matthew's gospel, I came not for the healthy, it is for the sick. It is not the healthy who need a doctor. It is the sinners that Jesus has come to call to repentance, to be forgiven, so that in a blessed exchange, they take that forgiveness and go out and show it to one another. It just might be, dear friends in Christ, that in the world that you go out into this week, as you go out forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins taken away, heaven given to you, assured to you and promised to you, it just might be that someone will see you act with kindness, compassion, mercy, in a moment where that person says, I never would have expected that. We forgive because we are forgiven. We can forgive because God has forgiven. And God grant that we would each return here often to be forgiven, to receive forgiveness, to be unified in the blood of the one who gives his life for us all. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, the psalmist says, for the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. When Christians are forgiven, the church is filled with life. And the life that is found in Jesus Christ, you take with you today. Dear church, go and share life to a world that is dying around us. Go out into a world that loves death more than life, that loves sin more than good, that loves darkness more than light. take the life of Jesus Christ given to you today and give it to a world that's dying as we speak. And take heart. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ never, ever stops. Not just 70 times 7 times that he forgives you, but over and over and over unto eternity. He is the merciful Lord who is your life, your hope, and your refuge. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.